Open your Bibles to Matthew 26. Hello, hello, hello. First of all, I want to thank everyone who watches and likes our messages, and you can email me at info@lihpc.org, and I read every single one of them. I have not responded lately. I've had quite a few. They pile up, but I wanted to thank everyone. Just so you know, I read them. Thank you for them. And also the ones that respond to our P.O. box. I have not responded to those either. We've had quite a few collecting there, and I just want to tell everyone thank you so much. It's hard to get to everyone. But we have a new YouTube backup channel, and please write this down and subscribe to it. It's just simply Roberta Morrison with the number 2. And we're doing that just to keep it simple, because on YouTube, you can find me under Roberta Morrison if you don't know how to look up, you know, livinginhispresence.org. And this way you can look up Roberta Morrison, the number 2, and subscribe to it. And if something were to happen, always remember we come every week with a message. We try to. And if you don't get it, go to our website, livinginhispresence.org, and it'll be posted there so you can find it. This is a day. There is a war on truth, as we know. So we're plugging away, and you're, all of you that support us, I tell you, don't know how much it means to me. Sometimes I'll be just kind of a little bit down, and I'll get a letter, I'll get an email, and so sweet. And one day we all will meet. But I know this is our mission. We have a little bit of a window to speak truth, and it's hard because people don't want to wake up. Some do, and they see it, and others don't. But I wanted you to see here in Matthew 26, even Jesus had that problem with his disciples. In verse 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and he said unto the disciples, Sit ye here." Verse 38, he tells them to tarry here and watch with me. One of the things we are called to do is watch. So many people want to live in this bubble of just be happy and be positive. That is part of the deception, is to just be happy and think nothing's going on. We're supposed to watch. And because his disciples weren't watching, he was trying to prepare them what they were going to do to him. They were going to betray him. But because they weren't watching, they got deceived, and then they also denied him. So here he said, "Watch with me." And then in verse 39, he's talking, he's praying to the Lord, and he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." And that's what we need to pray today, is we want to follow you. We want to follow your will. In spite of what they're teaching, and these churches are teaching us, it's not about his will, it's about your will, your dream, your vision, all this stuff you can do apart from God. That is humanism creeping itself into the churches. "And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." Because if we're not watching, we're going to enter into temptation. We're going to enter into a lot of the things that we're not supposed to be entering into. And the big one is deception in the end times. And then he said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." In verse 33, he finds them asleep again. I'm kind of cutting this short. Verse 45, "He cometh to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now." They didn't stay awake. He said, "And take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." But he was saying they couldn't even watch and pray for an hour. So Jesus had the same problem. I know some of you are discouraged because you're trying to let people know what's happening, and a lot of people don't want to see. They don't want to see because it's the blind leading the blind. So tonight, today or wherever you're watching, is Acts 20, verse 29 through 31. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter" where? "In among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men," what are they going to do? "Arise." They're going to rise up, "speaking perverse things." That means twisting things. Satan loves to pervert and to twist. "So also of your own selves men shall arise, speaking perverse things to draw away" what? "Disciples after them." So we're going to take a little test I'm going to give you a little test here about how can you tell if a preacher's preaching for the Lord or for themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He saw the deception coming. He was warning, warning, warning. Today, why aren't we warning? Why aren't people warning? If he was warning, he saw them happening. Well, we know now they're in our midst. Where's the warning? Where's the cry? This proves the danger of this rise of many who would deceive. But what is their main purpose? What is the main purpose? To draw disciples after them, to have celebrities and fan clubs. False disciples, what do? They point to themselves. Look at me. Look at the house I have. Look at the airplane. Look at my clothes. Look at how much money I have. That is drawing a disciple after the person.
Yes, that's right.
And then, of course, they do it all in the name of Jesus, so it's very hard. And you think, well, yeah, we want all this stuff with our pastor. We want him to be this and that. But that wasn't even preaching the real gospel. This was all part of this movement we've come out of. But true disciples point others to Christ. And here's the test. When somebody preaches, ask who they leave you thinking about. Are you thinking you want to be more like Ken? Or do you want to be more like so-and-so? Or do you want to be more like Christ? If it's Christ, then they're on the right track. If it's a speaker, all they talk about is themselves, their own stories, how blessed and highly favored they all are, then they're trying to draw you to them or to their church. And the root of true deception is that men can be equal to God. And this is more and more coming in the new age, the occult, all these things are happening just the way they did in the Garden of Eden. Yep. Satan tried to tempt Eve to be like the Most High. So this is nothing new. It's a mark, it's a red flag of false teachers, narcissism and Gnosticism. And Gnosticism, again, is that secret knowledge. You can't get this from your Bible, that old dusty thing. You've got to go out in the spirit realm and be a mystic to hear from God. This is what's happening. This is the emergence of the churches that's happening. And it's causing people to not even want to be a student of the Bible anymore. They just want to go out in the spirit realm and hear what this voice will tell them and what they're supposed to do. And that's a dangerous deception, because those voices out there can tell you to do a lot of things and you think they're God and they're not. So what is the biggest deception of all on the last days? Deception. Deception itself. There's two players in the end time deception. Number one is the deceiver, and the second one is the deceived. In that movie, The Matrix, they said when you come out of the Matrix, the biggest problem is going to be those stuck in the matrix. They don't want to come out of it. They don't want to see truth. And when you start seeing the lies that we've been told and you start seeing truth, you have to really do your research, because we have been programmed to believe a lot of things that are not true.
Right.
1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So now we have faith in our own faith. We have faith in our words. We don't have faith in him and in the Lord. It subtly has turned away from the Lord into us. And that is humanistic Gnosticism. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is so boring. That's what they say. And you don't read that old Bible. It's just so, you know, we need something new. We need a new move. That's what used to get me. Oh, we want something new. Yeah, what's God saying right now? Forget what the Bible says, but it's the, what are the prophets saying? But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, heap to themselves having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Many people have backslid because they were turned unto fables that didn't work. You know, the seven laws to this and that, and it didn't work. So what does the Bible tell us? It tells, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Prove it. Prove all things. Start asking questions. Start thinking for yourself. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, men shall be lovers of their own selves And what happens? This is the, explains the rise of both the deceivers and the deceived. Think about it. Now we're not just dealing with one devil, but his disciples, the false teachers. And they're deceiving people that are very good people, but they were deceived. They're thinking that everything that they're being taught is true. Each group, by seeking their own will, has abandoned the narrow path. We were taught, don't seek the Lord's will. That is not scriptural. God's told us what his will is. So God wants everyone saved, healed, delivered. That's how God wants everybody. But it's not reality. So what's wrong with that teaching? That teaching leaves you with, I'm confused now. We have to still pray, Lord, if it's your will, do you want me to go here? He wants a personal relationship with us through the Holy Spirit still. Instead of just man going around doing his own thing, saying, the stamp of God told me to do this, God told me to do that. There's no dependency on the vine. He's the vine. We're the branches. So they abandon the narrow path, and the narrow path we seek and follow, what do we seek and follow? The will of the Lord. Jesus here said, Lord, your will. There's things he didn't want to do. He didn't want to go. He kept praying a few times, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. So are we praying? That we were taught that was unbelief to pray that will, if it be thy will. So instead of just seeking your own dreams and visions and what you want to do, there's changes coming. We all have to say, Lord, what do you want us to do? There's another season coming. We're into a dark winter probably. And we have to seek the Lord, what we're supposed to do, what changes we need to make. Even we are praying about what we're supposed to do. So here, spiritual wolves in the church. How do you know if someone that you're following is a narcissist? Here's a little quick little test. We're supposed to watch. Remember, watch. They need to be the center of everything. They use the talents of those around them and then discard and replace them like dirty papal towels. Next, I'll use a singer. Well, a better one came along. We don't care. There's no empathy. There's no love for the person. It's using of the talents for self-gain. This is narcissistic type people. They're proud and entitled. They're privileged or they deserve special treatment. When they walk on stage, it's almost like a little God has shown up, and it's just like, it's just strange reverence. It's not a humble person, but it's someone that demands entitlement, special treatment. They use the pulpit to glorify themselves. All the stories. There was one woman preacher I was very close to. You'd all know her name for 15 years. She always talked about herself. I got so tired of it. It's just like, same stories over and over about you. What about me? It's not about you. They become drunk on power. They are abusive to their staff. Behind the closed doors, their wives are not treated right. And sometimes there's narcissistic women. And the same goes. They are narcissistic women, and they're mean to their husbands and their children. But they preach on love. But they're not really walking in it. They never admit their own mistakes. This is important that you're not under this kind of a leader right now. They control all the spending and no one else can make any decisions. This pastor, this leader refers to the church as his or hers, like it's their own personal possession. They own it. A very unhealthy church culture or a narcissistic corporation where people are afraid to speak up or even ask questions. That's not a healthy environment. True teachers in Acts 20:27, they declare the whole counsel of God. They don't just preach on your best life now. They preach on reality. They preach on what people are going through. They preach on sin. They preach on holiness. They preach on repentance. And faith in the Lord, having faith in Him. They read, faith comes by hearing the Word. It comes by hearing what the Lord has written. And supernaturally, we just connect with that. There's something about the Word, and when it's preached, it gives you confidence in Him. This life is but a vapor, and it's going to go away. But you're going to live forever and ever if you make Jesus your Lord. So where is the power of death? It's been removed because Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave.
That's right.
Now I want to kind of share this with ending about the update on the world religion, because we've talked a lot about the wolves, and not only in Christianity, but it's in everything, government, politics, everything you can say. So I want to just give you an update, and I want to say it in a way that I can be safe for not getting kicked off. Winston Churchill said, "The creation of an authoritative world order is the ultimate aim toward which we must strive. Nations must unite in a world government or perish." Sounds like a threat, doesn't it? Let me say that again. The creation of an authoritative world order is the ultimate aim towards which we must strive. Nations must unite in a world government or perish. Lord Beveridge of England, quote, said, "World peace requires world order. World order requires world law. World law requires world government." Let me say that again. Quote, "World peace requires world order. World order requires world law. World law requires world government. Under the world government, force would be centralized under one authority, one common currency, a world tax." And I really believe, as we're watching and praying, we're going to see a world tax. And it's going to come, I think, this is just my opinion, but as more and more of these events happen, more and more governments are going to require people to pay for these events that are happening around the world and help pay for the changing of the C-L-I-M-A-T-E.
Yeah.
And they want a one world religion. We become world citizens. We have a world identity card, etc., and etc. We go. This is not a theory. This is fact. Now, just lately, and I've had people send me articles, and thank you so much for your articles. I love them. I'm a researcher myself. I don't like theories that are not true or some way out, far out thing of Planet X is going to attack you and all these fear-mongering things. It's just nonstop. Some of these people just send you, you know, they're just off on some strange stuff. But there's real things that are happening that we need to be aware of that are not real publicized, so we're going to have to do our own research. And I want you to do that, too. Become researchers. Check everything out. But this is something that's happening right now between November 6th and the 18th, 2022. It's the UN C-L-I-M-A-T-E, I'm just going to start spelling words out, conference. It's the COP27. It takes place on the Sinai Peninsula. And it says, in Sinai, a prophetic call for climate justice and ceremony of repentance is happening. What does this really mean? What does this involve, and how will it affect you? So I'm just going to give you a little bit of a highlight of what they're saying, but they're meeting in Egypt, and not just Egypt, but they're also meeting in different places. But this is going to be monumentous, I believe. It's religious communities and religious leaders have a key role to play in addressing the climate and the justice of the climate, which requires deep transformation within society. So there's going to be some changes that are going to be required of people now. And we knew this 2 years ago. There happened to be a worldwide events that set up an infrastructure for things to be worldwide. This is not just the end of it. This is just the stepping stone into some things. And I like to know what's going on. There's things we can't change, but we can pray about and we can understand so that we aren't deceived by it. Some people don't even want to know. So if you don't want to know, then just shut this tape off right now. Because I can't wake people up if they don't want to see. And I know a lot of you are frustrated too. And don't mess up with my bubble. I meet people like that all the time. Well, just stay in your bubble then. Because I lived in a bubble for 40 years behind a church curtain, a big church, and doing all this stuff. And it was just like all I ever did was take care of kids, preach, come home, do, I mean, I was just so involved. I never knew what was going on outside the church. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to live in a bubble that we're just really not aware. We're just so positive. That was part of the deception from Robert Schuller. Just be positive. Is it good to have a great attitude? Oh, yeah. No one wants someone with a bad attitude, but not to the extension that you don't want to hear truth. And that's what's happening. People don't want to hear truth now because it sounds negative. Well, now you're in the deceived camp. And unless you choose to wake up, no one can help you. Not even God. The knowledge of what changes are critically needed to diminish long... This, I'm still quoting on what they're doing here. The knowledge of what changes are critically needed to diminish long-term harm to the planet is readily available now. Now, this is all in Romans chapter 1. And it talks about how they're going to start serving the earth and the creatures rather than the Creator. And this is exactly what's happening. Religions are sources of inspiration for the transformation of heart and ensuing changes of attitude. They're going to come through the religious aspect, which we've been talking about for 6 years. Interfaith climate events. I'm just skipping through this. Religious communities for humanity. Religious leaders will call for a re-examination of deep-seated attitudes and for identifying ways to transform these attitudes for the well-being of Earth, Gaia, our common home. Now, this is going to be on Mount Sinai. I know a week of it's already passed. And this is what, you know, that where Moses received the Ten Commandments. So now man is making 10 more commandments. Don't you find that a little strange? And it's taking place, and Sinai can remind humanity of our sacred responsibility to care for God's creation. It sounds so wonderful. I mean, the way they set and say things are camouflaged for what's really going on. We come to Sinai in a movement of repentance and quest. That's good. We seek a new vision for humanity and its endangered existence. And we seek to receive and amplify a message of life-sustaining living and habits that humanity needs to hear today. They're calling for changes. And someone sent me these 10. I'm not going to read all of them, but I'm just going to share a couple with you. And they want you to repent, call for climate repentance, embrace alternate energy sources, get rid of all fossil fuels, coal, oil, and gas. Wow, that's going to be a huge habit change. I'm seeing if there's anything else I need to read on this. The religious communities are actively meeting the climate challenge and feature concrete initiatives that translate the broader spiritual practice into action. Remember, I talked to you years ago about the Green Gospel? Welcome to the Green Gospel. So they want all religions to embrace alternative energy sources. Number 4, I have 10 of them, but there's some of them that sound kind of good, actually. Number 4 is take the bus. More and more, they're going to try to get you not to drive and to ride bikes. Yep. Ride bikes and take the bus, take public transportation. Now, is this going to be willful or will this be forced?
Yep, of course.
In time, it looks great in the beginning, but it talks here about the God of forces, yeah. In the book of Daniel, God of forces. Now, take the bus, turn off the lights, recycle. Most of us do that anyway. Don't waste food. Now you have an environment responsibility. They want you to avoid the use of plastic and paper and reduce water consumption. I'm going to stop with that one. Reducing water consumption, I've studied and researched this years ago, and we are starting to see how they are going to implement the reduction of... You have no idea if you haven't studied this. They don't want you to wash clothes and do different things all at the same time. As they move farther down the plan, I'm not saying this is going to happen right now, within a year or two, but they don't want you to wash clothes. You'll just take, if you have a spot on your suit, you just take that spot and you wash that suit off. You can't use all that water to wash clothes. So it's going to move right into, and it is fanning right into, the Agenda 2030 and 2050 agendas. That is exactly, but it comes off very spiritual in a repentant sort of way. So we just need to be aware. We can't be afraid. We need to be aware that sometimes people are not telling us truth. They're covering truth. And Jesus told us, beware of the wolves. They come to you as spiritual, sweet, religious leaders. But underneath, what are they really doing? Who are they really serving? Who are these people? Who are these wolves really serving? So we know that there is an antichrist system, and we know we were born into the beast, but we know the beast keeps getting bigger, right? So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We just pray that we would watch and pray like you told your disciples, that we wouldn't be deceived. And we know the Spirit's willing, but our flesh is weak. Our flesh doesn't want to hear some of these things, but you're trying to prepare us. You told us to not be deceived and to take heed that no man deceive you. So in the midst of all these changes, we thank you, Lord, you're with us. You said you'd never leave us, you'd never forsake us. Those that are without a job, Father, I pray for them right now, those that are hurting, lonely. I pray, Father, for friends. I pray for divine connections, just like Elizabeth and Mary were put together, that you'd put friendships together, that no one would feel isolated in this day, and keep us strong, keep us healthy, Lord. We ask for your protection. We thank you for the angels that encompass us. I can't even talk. Encompass us round about. We ask you for your protection, Lord, and we thank you that you show us things that are coming. You said you'd show us things to come. Some of the things are not good that they want, but we thank you, Lord, that you keep us awake, you keep us alert, and that you'll show us what's really happening behind the words they say and the commandments that they say. Help us speak boldly and help us speak truth. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen. If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison, and also her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her. Be sure to check out her YouTube playlist for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org webpage and click on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.